good all the time. You know, God put this verse on my heart right before I walked up. I'm a smidge loud, which doesn't bother me, but it may bother y'all. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 14, it says this, and this is a promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And it says, if my people, if my people. And some of the biggest decisions are seem so simple, but what you have to decide is, are you one of his? Are you one of his? And that doesn't just mean when you're having a good day. That means on your worst day, are you his? Are you his? Does he have your heart? Does he have your choices? Does he have your next 10 decisions? So many times on Sunday morning I say, you know, stand to your feet. But today I'm going to ask you, if you're well able, if you have the strength in your body, to get on your knees and to begin to pray. Because, see, I'm very well aware that there are so many times during a week that people don't even have a conversation with God. You can come to the altar. You can make an altar where you're at. If my sound boys could get on some altar music, that would be wonderful. There's many, many times in a week where your Bible is never even open, and I get it. There's times where I have weeks like those also. But see, God wants to talk to you today. God wants to have a conversation with you today. God wants to change some things in your life today. God wants to heal your body today. God wants to deliver you from depression today. God wants to reach down and give you joy where there's been a lot of sadness today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the building, God, right now. Lord, if they're watching on Facebook Live, God, I ask that you would go right with them, Lord, right as they kneel, Lord, and meet them where they're at, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that by your stripes we are healed in Jesus' name. And God, right now, I call down that healing, God, to flow through every single body in Jesus' name. Lord, I call out addiction in this place, God, in Logan County. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to clean up every street, to clean up every home, to clean up every family. God, for every person, Lord, in their suffering, God, in mental illness, God, I ask you right now, Lord, to give them that mind that you promised in your word, God, that is still, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but God, you've given us power, and you've given us love, and God, you have given us a sound mind. So right now, in Jesus' name, I call down that sound mind. God, I ask, Lord, that if there's people we need to forgive, God, I ask that you would show us to forgive them right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, for family problems that have crept into our lives, God, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to make those things right. God, for every offense that we're carrying against other people, Lord, I ask that you would help us to get over ourselves in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person and they walked in here aggravated or afraid or full of fear or full of anxiety today, God, I ask right now that you would open up their heart, God, and deliver them. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Welcome to Parish Christian Center this morning, everybody. If you're visiting with us today, I want to just tell you, welcome, welcome, welcome. Parish Christian Center was established in 1987, and it has and always will be an interdenominational ministry. And what that means is that all faiths are welcome here. Amen. You won't catch me preaching a bunch of doctrine, because what I'm going to preach is the Word of God, and the Word of God is living, and the Word of God is active. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and when you have the Word of God, you don't need a lot of the other stuff. You need the Word. And so I'm a Word girl. I'm a Word of Faith woman. I'm going to ask you now to turn with me to Romans chapter 3. We're going to read And some of the things that I say all the time, and it sounds like I'm a broken record, but this is one of the things that I say all the time, and I'm going to say it again today. It's never about how much of the Bible that you can read, because, see, most people can read, can literally read. But what it is about is, can you understand and can you process what you're reading? Because I can read instruction manuals all day. I could read how to be a plumber all day. I could read a lot of things. But unless I understand what I'm reading, it will not do me any good. One time I thought, I'm going to fix our sink. And I thought I really could do that. And I was full of faith and all of it. I got on YouTube and I began to read things and I thought, I'm just as good as any plumber. Well, I was good enough to take it all apart and get myself all confused about what I did. And I could not fix the problem and I could not put it back together. Nothing could help me put it back together. And I had to call the plumber. And it cost me more than it would have because he had to unmess my mess. So when you're reading the Bible, and I know, you know, if you've been saved for 30 years and you know this, then you know what? Just sit there and smile because not everybody knows everything. Amen? But before I read the Bible, I ask God and I say, God, open up my understanding. God, help me to fully saturate myself in the Word of God to where I know what you're trying to say to me. Because, see, God always has something to say to you. When you're hurting, He has a promise for you to heal your broken heart and your broken life. But if you can't comprehend that when you read His Word, it's not going to do you any good. One of the translations that I highly recommend is the CEV version, Contemporary English Version. And I'm going to read some verses out of that today. I got this Bible when I was 10 years old. There used to be a Bible bookstore on the square. And one day my dad said, I'm going to get you a Bible. I was saved when I was 7. And when I was 10, we went into this Bible bookstore on the square. And I picked up this Bible and I just fell in love with it. And at that time, it was pink. And since then, I've had it rebound because it fell all apart. This is the only Bible that I really have ever preached out of. I'll probably preach out of it till the day I die. It's very special to me. And I preach out of it most of the time. But there are times when I can't even understand it in here. And when I cannot, I go to the CEV version. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I want to minister to you today about something that God's been breathing into my life, and that is falling short. Falling short. And we all do it. We all do it. We all fall short. And there was a particular day this week where I was just kind of reflecting. Does anybody reflect? I probably reflect way more than I should, but I was doing some reflection. And as I reflected, I began to see all the areas where I fell short in so many ways. And I'm a perfectionist, and so I don't like to not be perfect in anything. I want to hit it every time, Tierney. And the more I reflected, read it, the more I realized I fall short in a lot of areas. I began to feel bad about the pastor I was, the daughter I was, the mother I was, every hat that I could wear. I began to feel like Brother Paul. I just kind of fell short in all of those areas. And God began to minister to me because there's two types of people in this world. There's one type, and they never think they do anything wrong. They think that everything that they do is right. And then there's people, everything they do, they feel bad about it. They feel guilty about it. They feel like it's wrong. They feel bad about themselves all the time. And see, God doesn't want you to be either types of those people. When you are falling short, when you're in the wrong, God wants you to be able to be real with yourself. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. We need to learn how to handle ourselves when we do understand and we do recognize that we have fallen short. So, in Romans chapter 3, I'm going to read at verse 23. And it says here, all of us, y'all say this with me, all of us. Nobody's excluded from this. Every single person who has ever breathed breath in this world, on this earth, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So it's never a matter of if you're going to fall short of something. It's realizing that you will at some point. As much as you don't want to, there are times where you're going to fall short. And you have to know how to handle yourself when you fall short. Because if not, you're going to wake up one day and be very confused about what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong. So it says here, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but God treats us much better than we deserve. But God treats us so much better than what we deserve. But God, see, when all your life has been torn apart, I know darn well you can always drop to your knees and say, but God, but God, but God treats us, all of us, so much better than what we really deserve. And what I find in humanity and in society today is so many people are walking around treating each other badly. And the way that they let themselves off of the hook for that is they say, well, that person just gets what they deserve. And what we really need to realize is we have to go back to the only source of truth on the planet. And that truth is found in God's Word. And God's Word says, but God treats us all so much better than what we deserve. So when we fall short, what we have to know is that, you know what? I fell short. I fell short. I was in the wrong. I messed up. You can never get any further in your life unless you can do that. When you fall short, own it. And own your life, every detail of it. But own it in a type of way where you understand just how much God loves you despite your setback, despite the fact that you fell short. And so it says, but God treats us so much better than we deserve. And because of Jesus Christ, He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. There's so many pastors that want to act like God doesn't accept people. And let me tell you something. You don't ever want to sit up under somebody like that. One of the most judgmental places you can ever go many, many times is church. Now, I'm a pastor, so I'm not trying to discourage people from coming to church because I work very hard to teach people that you will not act like that up in here. And I am so proud of all of the people in here because I don't think we have a bunch of judgmental nonsense going on. You see, but God treats us so much better than what we deserve. And because of what Jesus Christ did, see, because of what Christ did specifically for you, because of that, God freely accepts us. And not only does He accept us, but He sets us free from our sin. Many times, the area where you fell short involves sin. Maybe it was your pride. Maybe it was you did something wrong. But many times when we fall short, there was some little root of some type of sin up in there. And if you don't hear another word that I say this morning, I want you to hear this. God accepts you. God accepts you. He accepts you for for all the religious people that think I'm just a watered-down person right now, you can get over yourself too. Isn't that right, Brother Paul? Because let me tell you something. I can preach it till the cows come home. But let me tell you what, Kayla. If you can't just do the simple thing that God asked, which is love people, you're probably straight on your way to hell too. Now, I know this is real, just got real. And if you don't like this type of preaching, I probably won't be the type of pastor you want to sit up under, because I'm going to tell it, and I'll tell it in such a way you will get it. Amen. And we won't be confused about what I'm talking about. God treats us better than what we deserve, and because of what Jesus did for us, God accepts us. Now, does that give you a free pass to go and do whatever the heck you want to do? No, it doesn't. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very few there be that find it. Why are very few finding it? Because very few are looking for it. Why are very few looking for it? Because very few people care. Why do very few people care? Because most people are happy with their mess. And until you get unhappy with your terrible little life, then you're not going to do anything about it. Now, I don't know about y'all because I can't speak for y'all, but there was a time where I got sick of being that terrible little person. And guess what I did, Lori? I changed. And I'm still changing because there's still a part of me that ain't right. Can you see where you fall short? Can you see the areas where God's saying, now look here, you're down here, but you need to come up here. I want you to do some growing. See, can you recognize that in your life? And one of the most precious things is found right in this scripture, and I love how it reads, because of what Jesus did, God freely accepts us. Doesn't mean he's happy with everything we did, but let me tell you something. If you ever doubt that God loves you, oh, how he loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that when you go to the very pit, he will get himself up, roll his sleeves up, and dig you out. Over and over and over again. But see, God shouldn't have to dig you out all the years of your life. When he puts you up, he wants you to be up. When he said you're above and not beneath, that's exactly what he meant about you. So it says here, but God treats us much better than what we deserve, and because of Jesus Christ, he freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. God sent Christ to be our sacrifice. Christ offered his blood, so by faith in him, we could come to God. By faith in him, we can come to God because of what Jesus did for us. I don't like to hear when people and pastors are acting like people got to clean up their lives and dress perfect just to come to God and come to church. If your life is ugly, bring your ugly life and come and sit down in Parish Christian Center. We're going to help you clean it up. Amen. You can come to God. When your life is a disaster, you can come to him. Amen? When everything has gotten messed up, you can come to God. I've done jail ministry for 3 or 4 years now, and I always marvel because I always hear the same thing, and the same thing is this right here, Pastor Kelly. I don't feel like I can come to God because I've come to God so many times and I've given him the same old excuse over and over. I've had to ask forgiveness for the same thing and I keep doing it. Let me tell you something. You keep going to God. You keep going to him. You are able to come to God the Father because of what Jesus Christ, your big brother, did for you. He doesn't have any regrets. He doesn't sit there and think, I wish I wouldn't have created them. That's not how he feels about you. Right. Amen? So it says, and God did this to to show that in the past he was right to be patient and forgive sinners. This also shows that God is right when he accepts people who have faith in Jesus. Turn with me now to Psalms chapter 73. We're going to look at verse 26. There are times where you will fall short. Everyone does. And when you do, I hope you still have your bulletin with these scriptures on there to know where to go. In Psalms chapter 73, verse 26, it says this right here. My flesh and my heart may fail. How many of you can say, you know, there's been times where my flesh failed? How many of you know you have a spirit man and you got a flesh man? And they just war against each other. It's that moment where you're typing something out, and then the Lord says, delete all of that stuff you just did. And then you want to type it out again, and the Lord says, no. Dummy, keep on deleting that. And you're so hard-headed, you want to type it out again. And God keeps saying, no. Don't you dare do that. See, we've all got a flesh, and we've all got a spirit. And what does the Word say? My flesh and my heart, they may fail. Look here. I'm not giving you a free pass, but I am going to preach reality. Alyssa, there are times, there have been times, there will be times, and there are times where we're going to fail. That's just reality. Do we like it, Keisha? No. We don't like it. How many of you love a good dose of failure? Me neither. I hate it. But there are times where I'm so stubborn, Kayla, I'm going to do it my way no matter what the cost. And then I do it, and I'm like, this is costing me so much. Why did I do that? I'm not even talking about money. I'm talking about the things money has nothing to do with. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, and see, there we see it again, but God. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So many times we have fallen short because we are depending on our own strength and ability. So many times we have fallen short in an area of our life because we are depending totally on our ability, on our power, on our strength, on our intelligence. And the Word says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And look here, you can have an easy, good life, or you can fight God at every tooth and nail that you want to. You got to decide how you want to live your life. But if you're depending only on you, your flesh is going to fail and your heart's going to fail. A lot of times in the areas that I have fallen the most short, it's because I tried to do it all. I'm going to say that again. In the areas where I have fallen the most short, it was because I was relying on my own ability. And I felt like I either had to do it all or I could do it all. And neither one of those were true. You cannot rely on your own ability. It can only get you so far. But when you rely on the anointing and the grace and the provision and the favor that only God can give you, you're going to go as far as you need to go. You'll pass the finish line. You'll run your race. and you'll get where you need to go in your life. But you can't rely on yourself. If you're in a place where you feel like I am falling really short, ask yourself, am I relying on my own ability? Am I relying on my own ability? I learned an amazing prayer. Bella, how old are you, honey? 14. Come up here with Aunt Kel. Bella's one of my favorite people. Isn't she beautiful? She is beautiful. You know, if I totally believe this. Women should advocate for other women. We have no idea how hard that it is to be a young woman in today's society. Every chance we get, we should build these girls up in every single way. But when Bella was just a thought in Casey's mind and heart, we had just tried everything. Not we, but Casey. Let me rephrase that. That's my sister. And, you know, when you love somebody so much, I thought, here's what I honest to God thought, Tyranny. I thought, if I've got to be a surrogate for my sister, I'm going to have to figure out how to do that because she's got to have a kid. She's got to have a baby. We got to get her this baby. And see, we were trying to figure this all out. And let me tell you something. What God has ordained for your life, you don't got to sit there and rack your brain and develop mental illness over trying to get it. Okay? What God has declared over your life, there's not a demon in hell that's going to prevent it from happening. There's probably every demon in hell is going to try to, but see, what God has said is going to happen in your life. There's not a devil in the pit of hell that can cause that thing to not come to pass. The only thing that can prevent it from coming to pass is you and your thinking, and you cannot afford to think negative about what God has declared over your life. Because the Word says that God's Word, it is yes and it is amen. What does that mean? That means that every ounce of what the Word of God has for you, it is for you. If God says, I will give you victory, that's for you. See, it doesn't matter what you did 20 years ago that you're so ashamed of. See, the Word of God, it is living and it was meant for you. He breathes life into your body and He also breathes a destiny. And see, God's not intimidated by your past 10 failures, no matter how dumb they were. How many of you screwed up your life at times? Welcome to humanity. All right, baby girl, stand back up. I was getting somewhere with this point. I learned a very powerful prayer about 15 years ago. And when she had tried everything, see, sometimes, see, the blessing of the Lord, they maketh one rich and they addeth no sorrow. What does that mean? See, the blessing of God that God really has for your life, you're not going to have to sit there and fight to make it happen tooth and nail. Somebody needs to hear this. Because see, you're fighting against something and what you're fighting against is yourself. And after we had done everything that we could do, saw all the doctors, did all the things. One day I had a dream, and I was sitting right over there, and I was holding this beautiful baby girl. And it was one of those dreams where when you wake up, when I woke up, Jill, my arms were heavy from holding a baby. And I woke up and I said, God, whose baby was that? So that was Casey's little girl. The next service that we were in, let me tell you, when your biological clock starts a ticking, there ain't nothing else like it. I never believed in that until I had one. One day I woke up and just having a baby was on my brain, and I couldn't get it out of my brain until I had one. Casey came in here, And I believe it was on a Wednesday night about 15 years ago. And the praise and worship got on there. And she was so beside herself, she just couldn't handle it anymore. And she just went in the nursery. And she just began to cry. See, sometimes, you stay right here. Sometimes you get so discouraged. And you've fallen so short. And you know what God wants to do in your life. So you know what God wants to give you. But there's a hold up there. There's something. And you just can't quite get it figured out. And you get discouraged. And you'll come into God's house. And you can't even lift your hands because you're just so weary. Amen. Well, I went in there, and my big sister has always been my hero. I've just always admired the heck out of her. I've protected her most of her life. And I'm 5 years younger than her, but I've always admired Casey so much. And she was sitting in one of those rockers that you rock your baby in, and she had no baby, done everything. Doctor said, you're not going to have a baby. You're not going to be able to do that. And I remember saying, God, what are we going to do? And he said, just go lay hands on your sister. And so I went and I laid my hands on her. I said, God, I don't even know what to pray. See, it's not a bad thing when you don't know what to pray. Because, see, the Word says that you've got the Holy Spirit and He is interceding for you. And He will put the prayer right in your mouth. And I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth came one of the most powerful prayers, and I've prayed it so much. It was, God, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but God, I know that you will. So God, in Jesus' name, thank you. So you don't have to know every detail of how your prayer is going to get answered. When you don't know, God, I don't know how, but Lord, I know that you're going to. God, I put it in your hands right now, and I thank you for it. Get to where Casey got pregnant. This one right here was born on Valentine's Day. Amen. Casey goes, I think I'm going into labor. At that point in time, I had no children, and I said, I think you ought to call Melissa because I've never been in a labor before. I don't even know what that's like. She goes, I think I lost my mucus plug. I know that's TMI, but I said, I have definitely never lost one of them. You definitely need to call Melissa. I said, I'm going to get ready and I'm going to go. This was at like 4 something in the morning. I was on my way, dressed and ready. Called your mother. She goes, oh, I'm getting ready. I'm going to have to do my makeup and my hair. I said, I'm going to go crawl right back into bed because I know how her getting ready is. Many, 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 many hours after that was born the most beautiful little girl in the whole world. And it was Bella. And I was looking at Bella in the nursery when she was born. And I remember saying to one of my friends, Angie, came to look at you when you was a baby and you was in the little nursery. And I said, Angie, this is as close to a miracle that I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. You can fall short. You can go sit down, baby. You can fall short so many times in your life. And you can try everything. You can fight. You can do everything in your power. But many times you're falling short is because you're depending on yourself. There's things only God can do for you. There's things only God can make happen for you. If you're falling short, say, God, I give it to you. I'm not going to heap this trouble on myself. I'm not going to try to do this all myself. God, I give it to you right now. God, I don't know how you're going to make this right. I don't know how you're going to fix it. But God, I know that you will. Thank you. We all fall short. Every single one of us. But God is your strength. And in the end of this verse, it says, and my portion forever. So when you fall short, God is your portion forever. Wherever you lack, all God has to do is get his big old daddy God ladle and scoop you up whatever you're falling short of and plop it into your lap, and then you've got enough. Amen? You cannot rely totally on your own ability because that will only get you so far. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Look here, you have to ask yourself, am I righteous or am I wicked? Now, I'm not asking you that. Let me read that verse to you one more time. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. See, the word says, you choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Are you righteous or are you wicked? How many of you can agree there's just some wicked people in the world today? There are. Now, I personally believe everybody in here is righteous, but let me tell you something. I can't answer that for you because I'm not you. But for the righteous person, here's what the Word of God says. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. See, God's looking for someone to get back up, to rise again. Keep on getting up. When you fall short, you can't stay down. God's looking for you to get back up, to brush yourself off. What does it say? Though a righteous man falls seven times, what does that really mean? Though we fall a lot. How many of you... you fall a lot sometimes. You go through little phases, and it seems like every time you turn around, something you done did or something happened. Rise again. Rise above it. I can preach about this because, Jill, I have had to live it. I have had to live it. I have had to say, you know what? Really does not matter what people say, what they think, how they judge, the little smirks that they give you to let you know they're judging you, really doesn't matter. What matters is, am I going to get back up? That's what matters. And let me tell you something. The moment you set your mind to getting back up, God's hand is right there to help you up. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. When I think about falling short, I cannot speak for anybody but myself, but I know one of the reasons why I have fallen short is because I cared too much about what other people thought and said. And when we live in a world where that's all we care about, we're going to fall short a lot because we're going to do things, Kayla, only to please others. And when we do things to please others, God's not happy and we'll fall short. So Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says this, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. The fear of man, the fear of people, the fear of what they're going to say, the fear of what they're going to think, the fear of what they're going to do is a snare for you. It's a snare for me. I remember one particular time when I was trying to be the best pastor that I could very possibly be. And Sherry, I did a lot of things in my early pastoring years that God did not tell me to do, but I was just trying to be a nice girl, and so I did them. God no more directed me to do them than the man in the moon. Well, God, you're either going to let God direct your steps or not. But when God ain't directing them, you can find yourself in the middle of some messes. One particular time, I always laugh at this because it's hilarious now that I think about it. In that moment, it wasn't real funny. But I had a little old gal that came to church here. And one day, Mama, she called me and she said, "Pastor Kelly, you're going to have to come pick me and my kids up, take us to school, and blah, 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 blah." Well, that was before God enlightened me that I wasn't like a personal assistant. So what do? Blindly, dumbly, Bobby, I get in my car that God gave me, and I take myself to this chick's house. But I didn't make it to her house because she was insane. And she was on the side of the road, tweaked out. Now, listen, I can preach this stuff because it's my life and I've lived it. And if this offends you, I don't know why it would, because you're going to laugh by the end of this story. But I go and get her from the side of the road and her kids, and she just leaves her car wide open, doors wide open, and hops in my car. And I was certain I had every little demonic force that the pit of hell had to offer up in the vehicle with me. And I remember driving down there, and God said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, God, I'm just trying to help people." "Well, I didn't tell you to help this one." Now, I know that this, you're sitting there thinking, "Well, Pastor Kelly, we're just supposed to love everybody, help everybody." Yeah, there's ways to do that. If God didn't tell you to do something, you know how many people have left this world too early because they were being nice and they were doing something that God never ordained for them to do?
Right.
Wrong place. Wrong time, door open for the devil, and people get killed all the time doing that. There I am driving down the road, tyrannying. God's having a discussion with me, and he's going, "Now, who told you to get in this car and go get this chick?" "Not you, Lord." He said, "You're right. What happens if the pastor of Paris Christian Center dies on the way to go get her? Because, see, you're not in my will right now." Well, it had never dawned on me I wasn't in his will because I was doing a good deed. I was falling short and had no idea at that time because I was still too immature to see that that was not what God had for me. Look here, by the end of the day, I knew God did not have that for me because I was supposed to be preaching at a luncheon that the town was having. Well, misery likes company. I called Keisha. I called Mary. And I involved them.
Glory to God for
And I said, "Girls, I have really messed up. Mary, you're going to have to come babysit her because she is stuck in my house. And I don't know what she's going
to
do up in that house." It wasn't good. And I said, "Keisha, you're going to have to come to this luncheon with me because I need all the moral support I can get right now because, see, my brain is not operating correctly after this trauma that I have just been up in today. But let me tell you something. God needs to order your steps." Why did I do that dumb thing? Well, because I was afraid to say no and what they would think if I was a bad pastor if I told them no. You know what I've learned? The beauty in the word no. No. And some of us, we need to practice that. And I need to keep practicing it. Because, see, the word no will keep you out of a lot of dumb things that you shouldn't be involved in. No. N-O. No.
Amen.
I think that person's got their life a little bit more together than they did all those years ago. Every once in a while they try to track me down. Guess what? I love that person very much, but look here. We ain't going to be tight like that. Why? Because, see, God's put a boundary line there. Sometimes we fall short because we just won't cut off some relationships and friendships that are standing in our way of being who we're supposed to be. Amen? Sometimes we've fallen short because, see, we get arrogant and we get prideful. A lot of Christians today cannot take any type of correction at all. And let me tell you something. One of the most uncomfortable things that makes me squirm is when God says, Kelly, you're going to have to correct that person. I absolutely hate it. If there is one part of being a pastor that I can say that I absolutely detest so much is when I hear the voice of God saying, you're their pastor, and you're going to say to them what I tell you that you're going to say. And if you don't, I don't need you anymore. Most of the time when I have to do that, the relationships are never the same. And it's not because I was an awful pastor. It's because most people cannot, they don't have it in them to take correction. Therefore, they will continue to make stupid decisions. Therefore, they will continue to zig when they should have zagged. See, your pastor's supposed to be able to help you watch over your soul, watch over your life. Many, many times, they can see things coming because they pray for you continually. And let me tell you something. I'm just going to give you a disclaimer and a heads up. I don't like to correct people. I don't like confrontation. I want to feed everybody and make them happy and everybody like me. But guess what? That's just not the case. It's going to be all the time. Now, that happens most of the time. But if it comes down to me, God's saying, Kelly, you're going to have to speak into that person's life. It's going to be a word of correction. Look here. If it makes you leave this church, if I correct you, I'm going to still do it. I mean it. Because I love each and every single one of you. And if you can't take it, that's fine. There's a lot of churches in this town. They'll let you sit there and they won't say a word to you because they're counting people instead of souls. Amen. A lot of the reason why we fall short is because of other people. Because we care too much about what they think. I am still working on that. And it is hard. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. It's dangerous to be a people pleaser. It's a dangerous thing to be a people pleaser. Because it's going to take you out of your character. And it's going to make you do things that you wouldn't normally do just to please him. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Back to people pleasing. Some of the reasons why we fall short is there's people in our life that we just want them to like us so much. Y'all have those people in your life, you think, I really want that person to like me. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be people, and you want them to like you, and maybe to your face they're going to act like they like you for one agenda or another, but at the end of the day, everybody has people in their life that are not going to be for them. I'm going to say that one more time. There's people in all of our lives. We want them to like us. We want them to be pleased with us. And at the end of the day, Don't matter how hard you try. Don't matter what you do. They're never going to be for you. And guess what? You got to brush off your feet and wipe your hands and say, you know what? That person is not for me. How many times do people have to prove to you they ain't really for you to get it? I had an instance 2 or 3 weeks ago, and God kept showing this to me about a person. Kept showing it. Another opportunity happened, and the same thing happened, and God said, Kelly, that person, they're not for you. They will act like they are to your face, but behind your back, they are stabbing you in the back. Wash your hands of them and don't give them another thought. You're falling short because you care so much about that person. Look here. Just because you care about something, somebody doesn't mean that they're going to be for you. Amen. When people repeatedly do the same thing, God's not asking you to sit there and be their whipping bag. Amen. He's asking you to have some common sense and guard your heart above everything else. That's a hard lesson for me to learn, but I am learning it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. What is hindering you today? What is making you fall short today? What are those things? Because, see, the Word tells you very clearly. See, it couldn't be more clearly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders. People have these things, and they hinder their life. They hinder the anointing on their life. They hinder your God-given purpose and destiny. And see, the Word and God Himself is saying, throw those things off, and we're keeping them in. And they're making us fall short. Maybe we do it because we don't know what life looks without that thing. A lot of people just want to keep all their baggage just because they're afraid of what it would be like without it. They've gotten used to it. See, if something is hindering you, throw it off. And the sin that so easily entangles. See, sin, just a little of it, will get you all entangled. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Every person that is living today on this earth has a purpose. And God is saying, run your race. You run your race. I can't run your race for you. You can't run my race for me. We can come here. We can support each other. We can love on each other. I want to brag on somebody. Somebody's got I'm not going to call their name. But I was on Facebook, and another church of a pastor that I really love, they have a congregant in their church. And if you weren't affected by these storms, you are very blessed. Because there was a lot of devastation done. People's lives are changed. Their livelihoods were affected. And so many things. And this lady, she is a single mother. And I don't know how many kids she has, but she's got around 3 or 4. And a tree literally fell in the middle of her house, wrecked all of her kids' toys, their trampoline, their pool, their stuff. Well, for that single mom to have to buy all that stuff, I don't know how she did it, because that stuff is expensive. And we drove by her house, Tanya, and you can see a big old hole in her house. Now, how many of you would just love to have a big old hole in your house? Well, no, we wouldn't. None of us like that. That was like on a Saturday. Sunday morning, scrolling through Facebook, and here's this chick on there. She said, "Boy, sure was a good church service today. Yeah, I got a big old tree right in the middle of my house, but by golly, I enjoyed what Pastor so-and-so had to say." And let me tell you something. A lot of times we fall short because we ain't where we're supposed to be. A lot of times we fall short because we ain't where we're supposed to be. If I had a box, I don't have a box big enough for every excuse that I've ever heard why people won't come to church. But let me tell you something. I have my job at church, and y'all all have yours. And whether or not you show up to do it or not, that's between you and God. But let me tell you something. When things get all screwed up, what you got to ask yourself, and I'm looking at him because this man has been here through thick and thin for this church and for my family, is this right here: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then, only then, shall all these things be added unto it. So you can chase your own tail just as much as you doggone want to be in chasing it. But let me tell you something. If you won't honor God, He will not honor you. If you will not honor God, He will not honor you. If you won't honor Him in your business, He will not honor you in His business. If you won't honor Him in your decisions, He's not going to honor you. The first year of my pastoring, God took me outside because Paul, he had some business he needed to take care of with me, and here was the business. I had gotten in a bad habit of being too concerned with who was at church and who wasn't at church. And it would just eat me up. And God said, "Kelly, you're going to go outside because I'm going to break you from doing that." We got outside in 100-degree weather with the pandemic and all sorts of problems. And guess what, friend? I quit doing that. Because you know what? I can't babysit everybody in this church. And the devil would love to kill me, make me try to think I can. "Oh, Pastor Kelly, I got tree limbs in my yard." Guess what? Them tree limbs, they'll be there after church. Now, I know people don't like to hear this. They think, "Well, she's just putting this in her sermon to try to tell us we need to come to church more." You're darn right. You're absolutely right. Give yourself a pat on the back for being that smart to know what I'm trying to get you to do. What am I trying to get you to do? Be a doer of the word. See, you ain't going to change anybody sitting there eating honey buns on your couch feeling sorry for yourself. If you could, I would have unchanged lots of folks. But I've been boycotting them honey buns because they like to add things to me I don't like. But let me tell you something. You want to quit falling short in an area of your life? Give God your life. Give it to Him. "Well, I've been saved." Yeah, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your life. Them are different. Give them your time. Give them your life. People said the other day, "Boy, church sure was full." I said, "You know what? Something weird happened. I think it was the full moon. Everybody that actually claims to come to Parish Christian Center, they all showed up in one Sunday. I don't know what they were thinking." This isn't just all my job. When you think about it, there's one of me. There's all of y'all. And guess what? I ain't going to kill myself to make myself think that I got to do my job and all of y'all's. Amen? You'll either show up and be a part of the body or you won't. But when you won't and things start happening in your life, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm trying to teach you. When stuff starts going on, Don't start being mad at God. Because, see, God didn't change. And His Word doesn't change. And His promises, they don't change. I've got our camera system on my phone. Because, well, people like to do a lot of crazy things to churches, and I'm going to have mine as camered up as I possibly can. The other night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, some old man just kept walking across the church. What did I do? God, in Jesus' name, I don't know this old man, but God, You do, and Lord, I ask that You'd help him. God, if You're dealing with him about going to church or coming back to You, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that You would help him. But every single Sunday morning, without fail, my phone goes off at about 8 o'clock. I don't get here till 9, but my phone goes off at 8 o'clock with Mary McFarland and Ernie McFarland opening up this building, turning this air on, making it look pretty. You can't buy people's loyalty and affection. On my very worst days, that has meant everything to me. Sometimes I get really freaked out because I'm like, oh my God. All these people are getting older. And I want to have a pity party for myself. And I'm going to tell all you young bucks out there, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Because all these folks are getting older and I can't do this all by myself. You need to grow the heck up. Be where you're supposed to be. Help me go forward in this church. You don't like this kind of message? It's probably conviction coming right over your soul right now. And I'm not going to stop preaching like this because you know what? The world needs our generation tyranny. That's why. Who's the next Mary and Ernie? Who's the next Charles and Brenda? Who's taking these people's places if the Lord tarries? Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. All you can do is give your life back to God and give Him your choices. And when you fall short, look at your life. Say, God, I don't want to fall short. Add to my life and help me make this correction. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. See, it was His joy to do that. It was His joy to fulfill His destiny and die on the cross for you, for me. For His joy, He endured it. Scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God doesn't want you to lose heart. He also doesn't want you to keep falling short. We've talked about some reasons today why people fall short. We've talked about what to do about that. In the first verse that I read, we read where God treats us better than what we deserve. And He accepts us and frees us of our sin. I love each and every single one of you. I'm honored to be your pastor. I don't take it lightly. I'd like to say I'm asking you, but really it's God's asking you today. Are you falling short? Is there an area or so in your life where you're saying, you know what, I know that I continually fall short. I don't want to, but I just continually fall short in this area. I want to commit that thing to God because, see, I know that God wants me to grow in that area and I'm having trouble. If that's you, I want you to stand because, see, God wants to help you get from point A to point B. If you're at home and you're watching this, get off of your couch if you need to stand up. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, all over the place this morning, God, we commit these areas to you. God, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to make those changes. God, for every person, Lord, that's in our life that's not good for us, Lord, I ask that you would remove those people from our lives. God, if there's offenses that we've held against our brothers and sisters in Christ, God, I ask that you'd help us get over those things. And Lord, in those areas where we've fallen short, Lord, help us to be our very best. Help us to meet the mark, God, and finish our race. God, in Jesus' name, amen.